All right, why don't we just go right to the Word. Did I tell you that that was NIV? Okay, good deal. Ephesians chapter 6, you can watch it on the screen here, but I'm going to be reading from the NIV. This is verses 10 through 14. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. How many know he likes to scheme? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How many know there's evil in high places too? Hallelujah. Verse 13, therefore, put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. The King James Version says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. So I'm going to stop there in our reading. And of course, title of my message is The Belt of Truth. I began last week looking at this famous section of Paul's writings where he describes the kind of armor that a follower of Jesus will need to stand, will need to stand against the enemy. After challenging his readers to be the best that they can as a husband and as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a boss, as a worker, Paul tells them not to do it alone, but to be strong in the Lord. And he reminds them that they have an enemy who is actively scheming against them, trying to deceive them, to discourage them, and derail them. You ever felt like you've been derailed off of what you were doing? He tells them and us to stand our ground. In other words, do not give an inch of what God has done in your life. Has God done anything in your lives today? Is there anybody that can give a big amen? Amen. God has done something. So he is saying, do not give an inch of what God has done in your life. Don't put yourself in a vulnerable place for the enemy to come and work. You stand firm. You put on all of the armor that God has provided for you. And so perhaps it's worth remembering maybe where Paul is as he writes this letter to the Christians at Ephesus. The believers there were called the Ephesians. It so happens that he's in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. And as the Holy Spirit moves upon him to write these various letters to the believers, the picture of the Roman soldier is right there before him. And he looks over there and he notices the belt that is on the soldier. And then he looks at his breastplate and he looks at the sandals, down at the sandals. And he looks over there at the shield leaning up against the wall and the helmet that he has there and the sword. And he paints a word picture that most people in that day would be quite familiar with. So after hearing Paul's letter then, every time they saw a Roman soldier, then they would remember to arm themselves with the truth and with righteousness and with peace and with faith and with salvation and God's word and prayer. How awesome is that? Last Sunday, we looked at the helmet, the soldier's helmet, and we saw that we can be confident as we stand our ground because the helmet of salvation reminds us, first of all, that our past is forgiven. And our present right now, guess what, is a work in progress. We haven't arrived, have we? And our future then is closer than ever. When Jesus comes back, for those who are looking for Him. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for His coming. And I really would prefer that He come sooner than later. Amen. Amen. We don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to be dazed or confused by the enemy. regarding anything that arises in our lives. I hope you're hearing that today. When you don't know what to do, you just trust Him. Why? Because He knows what's best for our lives, Sister Linda. Brother Brandon, He knows what's best for our lives. So again, when you don't know what to do, you stand and you just trust Him. And you see the salvation of the Lord, and you trust that God will do all that He has promised to do for us from His Word and in His Word. So today I'd like to spend just a little while, this won't be long, looking at another part of the armor, and that is that belt of truth. Of course, Paul has already mentioned truth in his letter. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, we should speak the truth in love. How many know that's important? To speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love is not going out to a funeral somewhere out there at the gravesite where they're laying a vet to rest and you've got protest signs saying that God hates the gays and they're going to hell. Guess what? That's not speaking the truth in love. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Aren't you glad He loved us in the place that we were in? So we don't do those kind of things. And I'm telling you, they're going to stand and give an account for what the way they do and still do. Amen. Ephesians 4:25, he says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, put off lying, and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So what is he getting at when he says to strap on the belt of truth? Is it a call to honesty? That's part of it. You have to understand, truth is the purest form of reality. Truth is how things really are, apart from any personal agenda. And guess what? There's a lot of personal agendas. People put their own thing into their agendas, and what comes out is not truth. But truth is both objective, it has a purpose, and it's personal. It stands alone, but when embraced, becomes the strongest of forces in a person's life. You can have all the gifts, but guess what? If you don't have that gift, if you don't have love, you're nothing. But I'm telling you, when you've got that love inside of you, it's a force to deal with. Truth can be life-changing. Truth can be transformational when unveiled and embraced. Jesus' own words in John chapter 8. He says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. So let's take a few minutes looking at the belt of truth that a follower of Jesus should wear at all times. You don't take it off. You just leave it on. You sleep with it. You eat with it. You shower with it. You don't need that word picture, but that's all right. I had my mentor tell me one time, said, when you get up there preaching, don't get up there and tell them the Lord spoke to you in the shower because they're going to try to get a word picture of that. No. You don't need that. What kind of word picture do you? Just say the Lord spoke to you this morning. Amen. Amen. Moving right along. First of all, the belt of truth provides protection. It's designed to protect a person from low blows. I mentioned that this morning. You have to understand that the enemy is very skillful at giving low blows. Satan's greatest weapon, guess what, is deception. And he's called the father of lies. If he can get you to believe contrary to what God has revealed as truth, then guess what? He has you right where he wants you. And that is immobilized by his lies. Why, who do you think you are? You're a nobody. Things will never change. You'll never have anything. You've done too much. You've got too much history. You've got too much baggage behind you. Understand, it's all lies. Would you look at your neighbor and say, it's all lies. We can change, and we are made new in Christ Jesus. When we became a follower of Christ, we have Him in our heart. Guess what? He took that baggage. You don't have it dragging it behind you. So the belt of truth then also helps you to be battle ready. It keeps everything in place. Listen, if a soldier's armor is loose and flopping around, he will not be an effective or confident in combat. Apparently, a soldier would loosen his belt when he was relaxing and off duty, but would tighten it up when he needed to be ready for action. And spiritually speaking, then, we should never take time off from the truth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We must always be in a state of readiness. Belts were used in Bible times to secure loose garments so that a person could run and fight effectively. The belts also provided a place to attach weapons. When the enemy attacks us, guess what? We may have to move quickly and use our spiritual weapons on the run, with that being praise or praying in the Spirit or the sword of the Spirit. What about when you come out of that doctor's office and they've given you a bad report? Are you just going to take that in and think on it? And no, you start battling right then. No, I don't accept that. Yes, I'm not disregarding what has been said, but I know the truth and I'm going to stand on God's word. And He's going to help me walk through this thing. He'll show you. Don't you claim that. It doesn't matter what they show that you have or the symptoms that you might have. You say, Lord, I thank You because You've given me strength and I'm going to work my way through this. I thank You. If You want to do a miracle in my body, I'm ready right now and I'm speaking that. But I'm not going to claim it as my own. The enemy wants us to do that. Well, I've had this cold now for 6 weeks. I just can't get rid of it. I guess it's just going to hang on. It is going to hang on until you decide enough is enough, okay? The belt of truth enables us to move quickly and confidently without tripping into lies or losing our weapons. Understand, the loose armor would have been troublesome and disturbing, making the soldier feel soft and awkward and unready, giving him a sense of falling apart or being out of control. The belt bound everything together, giving the soldier a sense of firmness, making him feel secure and able then to meet the enemy's attack with confidence. So guess what? We don't have to fall apart or give ground at man's word. What do? We stand on God's word. We have His truth in our very being. There was security in the belt. The belt makes a soldier then ready for battle. And then number three, the belt of truth gives you a place to hang your sword. For us, the sword is the Word of God, and it goes with a belt. Why? Because it hangs on the truth. And it is truth. Again, from John chapter 8, here's what Jesus said. If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So as believers, then, where do we find the teachings of Jesus? Of course, it's in the Bible, God's Word. So then, how do we as believers, then, how are we to respond to truth as it is? Let me tell you, here's how. First thing is to know the truth. Know what's right from wrong. And truth is found in knowing the One, again, who is truth. Jesus said, I'm what? The way, the truth, and the life. We can get to know Jesus, again, through the Bible, especially the Gospels. But this is more than just learning about Him. It's responding to His words and responding to reality. It's just doing, Brother Gary, what He says for us to do. Just do it. Would you look at your neighbor and just tell them, just do it. and not just know the truth, but next, how about live the truth? Truth as a concept alone, guess what, is not enough. It's like potential energy. It is there and it's real, but until it's put into action, guess what? It does not do any good. Well, I know this and I know that, and it says this and it says that. Well, it doesn't matter what you know. I haven't seen it in action. You can admire it, you can talk about it all you want, but it must be activated. And how is it activated? Through obedience. So we are to walk and to talk in obedience to God's word. We're to be that example. Our character is to be that example. Our conversation should be an example of that truth. Not just know the truth, not just live the truth. How about then tell the truth? And so while God has certainly called us all to be honest, Jesus has made it clear then to his followers that other people needs to hear the truth about him. And so before he left his disciples to return to heaven, Jesus told them to spread the truth about him all over the world. So Matthew 28, here's what Matthew wrote. Therefore, he wrote Jesus' words, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And he ends with this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So wearing the belt of truth in reveals the truth about who I am daily. And guess what? It reveals the truth of who we all are on a daily basis. Before we came to Christ, we were sinners in need of His grace and His forgiveness. Amen? Amen. And now, as born-again believers, our spirit has been reborn. But we still are living in this old flesh, in this body. Amen? Which the Bible says will be transformed from mortality to immortality when Jesus comes back for us at the rapture. But yet, again, we still need to take care of this old body. We need to buff it, not buffet it. Amen. All right. And then our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions, needs to be, guess what, renewed daily. And the Bible says it can when you stay in that word. That's what that word, the truth, does. It renews you on a daily basis. So guess what? We're still a work in progress, and we need His grace and His mercy every day. I know I do, and I'm the pastor. Amen. Wearing the belt of truth in reveals the truth about God. Well, God loves the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son to us. He clothed Himself in flesh, died for the sins of humanity, rose again, ascended to heaven, and He's coming back again. And so it is by faith then in Christ we have eternal life. He did not leave us alone, but He gave us what? His Spirit, and He gave us His Word. He gave us the truth to lead us and to teach us. And it is He who gives us eternal life. He gives eternal life to sinners, enabling them to believe upon Jesus. And the power so awesome is that the power of the gospel, that truth then, opens the blinded eyes of the sinner. And it gives them then that choice. They can either accept truth or they can reject it at that moment. It's up to them. But that's the power of the gospel. It opens their eyes. The Bible says the sinners are, this world is blinded. But listen, His power. We need to focus on the truth. The truth is essential then to our spiritual warfare. Paul, in his letter to the believers at Philippi, listen to what he said. He said, you focus on these things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good. He said, these things are the right things. Hallelujah. We don't dwell on revenge. We don't dwell on having the last word in something. Amen? So the truth gives us stability in our spiritual lives. Is this okay today? Y'all doing all right? All right. I've still got another hour, so we're good. If we compromise essential truth or God's word to us, if we compromise that, what we're doing, we're casting away then a crucial part of our armor that will allow Satan then a door to hit us with his lies. Amen. We can't straddle the fence. Amen. There's no room. There's no gray areas. And there, guess what? There's no compromising to truth. Truth stands alone. So let us put on truth. Let us be faithful to it, even if we are the only one believing it. The belt ultimately represents, again, that Jesus has the truth. And Jesus is the source of all truth. Jesus is the Word of God. He was and is the Word of God in the flesh. And also, guess what? We need to spend time reminding ourselves, especially in prayer, in our time of devotion, of the truth that has been given to us in His Word about certain areas. Here's how many of Satan's attacks then are kept at bay, or we could use the word thwarted. That's a big word. How about just kept at bay? I like that. Easier to pronounce. All right, here's what we need to know about. How about the truth about sin? We all have sinned. Can you say amen? But I want you to know I've been forgiven, and His mercies are new to me every morning. And believe me, when my feet hit the floor, sometimes before it hits the floor, I'm thanking God for His mercies today. And the words that I spoke yesterday, I cannot take them back. Did you know that? The words that you speak that is not truth and it's not God, it's not love, you can't take those words back. You're going to be accountable for every word that you've spoken and every deed that you've done in this flesh. But what's so awesome is that you can ask God, Lord, you deal with me now on that. I don't want to carry it with me into judgment. And if you will deal with that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I thank you that you've already forgiven me. So I'm sorry and I claim your mercies today. I can't do a thing about yesterday, but I'm going to take today and I'm going to walk in the truth that I know. I can't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here. You don't have to go around with your head down as an old worm. I'm just an old sinner. I'm just an old sinner. I'm just an old worm. No. I was an old sinner, but I've been saved. Now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I was an old sinner, and yes, I still mess up. I still say some things I shouldn't say. I still fuss at them dogs sometimes. And when they don't obey me, I call Amber. Amber, come get this dog. Back up. She's good, back up. She points her finger at him, doesn't have to say anything. Boy, they're gone. Amen. Amen. I wish I had that power. I just don't have that. Just something about it. All right, here's the other one, the truth about God. You know, we just talked about the truth about sin, but how about the truth about God? God so loved the world that He gave of Himself. He gave of Himself. So how much more should we give of ourselves to Him? Just like we did right down here on our knees. I wish I could do that. You have to put a pillow in a chair beside me. They need help getting up. But it doesn't have to be physically on our knees. We can do it in the spirit. In our spirit, man. Amen. Spending that time. Amen. Amen. Give ourselves not only to Him, but to others. Amen. How about just loving yourself? A lot of people hate themselves. and they can't get over it. The enemy just bounds them, hits on them. All right, here's the other one. How about just knowing the truth about my identity in Christ? I've been created in His image. Amen? And as believers, we are a new creation to imitate Jesus Himself. We can walk and we can talk and we can do like and be like Him. That's what He wants us to do. Amen. And then there's a truth about the power of God available to me and to all of us. It's through the Holy Ghost. His power is at work within us. And that's why we need the power of His Spirit working every day in our lives. Today more than ever, and in the days to come, you're going to need the Holy Ghost in you, working and active, not dormant, not stale. You'll get up one morning and He say, you don't need to go to the store. Or you don't need to go that direction. You stay in your house today. I've shared this many a time. My mom was at church every day, every Sunday. When, even in the church that we were in, and then when we started our ministry. And one Sunday morning, she went out of her house. Dad was there. He was sitting in the recliner. He would stay home. And she went out to the car, opened the fence, closed the fence, got in her car, and just sat there a moment. And there was this little spirit that says, you go back in there and stay with Him today. Now, that wasn't like my mom. But you know what she did? She got her purse and her Bible. She went back in there and she opened the sliding doors. He says, what's wrong? She says, nothing. I just want to stay with you today. Got her house coat back on. And you know what? That did something to my dad's heart. It changed him. Oh my gosh. And in the days and weeks and months to come, he never missed.
That's right.
Even when mom stayed home, he came to church, you know. It was awesome. It was awesome. God knows what He's doing if we will just listen to Him. Amen? How about the truth about the effectiveness of prayer? How many have prayed and God has answered your prayers? All of us have a testimony of that. Listen, He hears our call and He promises to answer. Don't give up on your loved ones.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You in prayer, you can speak to that mountain. Yes, we can ask God, and we were saying that this morning. We can ask God to do this and to move that and to do that. But did you know what the next level of maturity and faith is? He says, I've done it all. You're my hands and my voice down here. Why don't you speak to the mountain? I give you power to cast out demons and heal the sick. Well, Lord, I just thank You. I speak to that mountain today. That thing is going to be moved at work. You see the confusion and the junk that's going on at work. Lord, I speak to that thing and command that to blow up and to dissipate and become of nothing, because I want to go in there with peace and do my job. Guess what? He'll do it. And the rats will scatter. Amen. Amen. Real rats, not people. Hallelujah. The belt of truth prepares us to be ready for action. It helps us keep other things out of the way while we're fighting. Ooh. So the call to have your loins girt about with truth is simply this. Watch this. It's simply a call, Brandon, to be prepared for anything that's coming our way. That's what this whole thing is about. Is to just be prepared for anything that comes our way. And a lot of us have a lot of things that come our way. Amen? Some more than others. Everybody's different. Christians always need to be ready to defend themselves against the powers of darkness and not be caught unaware. We can be prepared in every situation by making certain that we are people of truth. Are you a person of truth today? Can you say amen? And that includes knowing the good news about Jesus and why you believe in Him. And it's also living as a person of integrity, as someone who is honest and trustworthy. Live so that others can see Jesus in you. Here's what Peter wrote in one of his in his letter. Live such godly lives that they that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Listen, soldiers were able to go into battle with their garments tied up so they would not trip up and be captured by the enemy. Our battle, again, is not against flesh and blood, but we have a real enemy who wants to trip us up and trap us in all kinds of sin. So by allowing God's truth, His Word, to permeate us on the inside, and guess what? It won't permeate us unless we're in His Word. Amen? God's truth to permeate us on the inside. We too will be prepared and avoid the pitfalls of the enemy. So as I close today, and before we prepare for communion, let me give you what the essence of this word again is about. Three things: know it, live it, and tell it. Would you just say that with me? Know it, live it, and tell it. Can you make a new commitment today then to the Lord just to seek Him even more? Spend some more time with Him? Seek to know more of His truth that by asking Him through prayer? Yeah, come on, girl. And by reading the Bible? And guess what? You have to make the time, Brandon. Brandon has said that many a time. You got to make time to be with Him. Yes, it can be on the way to work. And it can be other places. But find that special place alone. Just spend time with Him. Take a psalm. Read a psalm. Meditate on it. Just let Him speak to your heart about it. Can we make a new commitment with God's help and determine anew to live truly and even worship Him in truth? How about telling others about God? Watch this, that Jesus loved us enough to die for us so we can spend an eternity with Him. Now, how short of a thing is that? Jesus loved us enough that He died for us so that we could live an eternity with Him and not separated for an eternity in a place called hell. That's the gospel. That's the truth. He promised to be with us always, and He will help us be and do all that He asks us so we can be strong in Him and in His mighty power. So you guard yourself today. You begin anew. You guard yourself with the truth so you don't lose any ground that you've gained as a follower of Jesus Christ. And remember, it's the truth of the gospel that sets men free. Can you say amen? All right, guys, would you come? She's going to play. I've got a scripture here. Go ahead, Reith. You can play. Brother Garen's coming. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved or watched over blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one more time, again, the call to have your loins girt about with truth is simply a call then to be prepared for anything that comes our way. And having done all, we need to just stand. Stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to prepare for our communion. Hallelujah. God's so good. Thank you, Lord. Those that are watching, so Sister Lutine told me last night, she says, I take my communion with y'all. She says, I'm weak right now. We're going to continue to pray for her. She says, but my spirit is strong and I'm going to take that communion, she said, with you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My piece of bread has butter and garlic powder. And no, it's all right. It's just, it's a wafer. It's all right. Hallelujah. I got it. Oh, yeah, y'all come on in. Come on in, y'all. Join us with our communion. This is our booster shot for the week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is part of the Word of God. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just get that in your spirit. Paul's writing, he says, For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup which he supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shall do, or you do, show the Lord's death till he comes. We're remembering what he did for us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our offenses. Offenses. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities, our wrongdoings. The chastisement of our peace, or another way to say it is the punishment for our well-being, was laid upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. I've just spoken the word of God to you today. Hallelujah. So as we take this bread, Lord, I thank you right now that as we partake of this today, Lord, we thank you that this bread represents your body. Lord, in the sins, God, oh my gosh, for the sickness and disease that you took upon yourself, Lord, I thank you that your body was broken for us. You were that lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So, Lord, I thank you today. We are remembering what you have done for us as we partake. Let's take the bread. Hallelujah. We take the cup. We thank you, Lord, this represents your blood. Ha-ha. Thank you for saving us. The blood that was shed on Calvary for us. We thank you and we remember. And we're going to continue to remember it till you come back in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that as we take this today, I thank you for a finished work in this body of healing today. All those that are still dealing with stuff, Lord, I thank you that today is coming to an end. We've had enough. Enough is enough. We thank you, Lord, for complete healing in our body in Jesus' name. Can we just worship him right now with a hand clap? Set your little cup down there. Let's just give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. We praise you today. We praise you today. We praise you today. Oh, we give you glory. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, I thank you, mighty God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Right now, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you for a completed work. In Jesus' name. Oh, do your work, do your work, do your work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Can you take somebody's arm? You don't have to take their hands. If you're just locked together with their arm, we're going to have a unity, show of unity in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Lord, as we lock arm in arm right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It can't come through our wall of truth. It bounces off or it's crushed either way. So we thank you, Lord, that we're going to stand our ground and we're not going to give an inch to the enemy. And so, Lord, we're asking for your divine guidance and your help each and every day, because we do realize that in our own flesh we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible. And I thank you, Lord, that every mountain can be brought low and every valley brought up. So I thank you today for your awesome work in our lives. I thank you for this body. I thank you because it's a unique body. And as I said earlier, you have brought this body of individuals together. Members, various members with various gifts and talents. You have brought us together as one, a mighty army to go forth and do your work. So Lord, I thank you today that in the days to come, Lord, I thank you that we're going to carry out what you've asked us to do and directed us to do. And Lord, we're wanting new people. We're wanting folks to come in and be saved. So right now, Lord, we're asking for new folks and we're calling them forth from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And as they drive by here on a daily basis, back and forth, morning and evening, Lord, I thank you that you're going to touch their hearts and your Spirit is going to draw them. Lord, they may never step foot in here, but Lord, your Spirit is going to draw them as they drive past. But Lord, I thank you for those that you've got destined for this house. Lord, I thank you for a body that permeates the power of your love. I thank you today. I thank you that we're going to see some brand new things in the days to come. Lord, we're believing you for great things, and we're not afraid to ask you for big things. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage this body. You don't be afraid to ask the Lord for big things. Don't ask him for things that you can do yourself. You ask him for some big things. Things that it'll only take a miracle for it to happen. And I'm telling you, when you ask him for those things that you don't think you would ever be able to have or to do, when he gets involved in it, listen, with your faith, he begins to work. And you begin to believe and stand on his word. Lord, I've asked you for this is a big thing. I don't know how in the world it's going to work out. But I'm asking you and I'm thanking you that if this is your perfect will, Lord, I just declare it done. Declare it done. And listen, if it is his will, you're going to have peace and you're going to continue to stand on his word. Or if he says, no, not that direction, not this, you're going to have peace about it also. And say, okay, Lord, then you show me. He'll show you. He'll show you. He'll give it to you. You stand your ground. Don't give an inch to the enemy. Do not give an inch of ground that you've gained from where you are today. Don't go backwards. We've come too far to turn back now. In Jesus' name. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Amen. If you can make it, any of you.